By the Book of Acts in the chapter 28. Book of Acts in the chapter 28. And if we move down to verse 16, we'll take a reading from there. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people, or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar. Not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause therefore have I called for you, to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that Paul had spoken one word, Well spake the Holy Ghost, by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people, and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to this reading from his word. Well, Acts chapter 28 and the verse 25. Acts chapter 28 and the verse 25, and particularly the words that we find at the end of the verse, Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers. I want to speak to you on the subject, the Holy Ghost speaking in the Scriptures to sinners. The Holy Ghost speaking in the Scriptures to sinners. The Holy Scriptures are divinely inspired. That is the testimony of the Bible concerning itself. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And in the process of inspiration, through which we have our Bible, in that process, the Holy Spirit is the active person in the Godhead. Holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. Thus it is right and proper for us to speak of the Holy Ghost as the divine author of the Scriptures. Yes, there are human pen men. There is Moses and Peter and Paul and so on. But the Holy Ghost is the divine author who divinely inspires these men. They wrote, they put down on paper what they were moved to put on paper by the Holy Ghost. Thus, when the Bible speaks to an issue, and the Bible speaks to many issues and is constantly speaking to issues, it is right and proper to identify what the Bible says as the mind of the Spirit of God. On whatever issue it happens to be that the Bible speaks to, we may say on this issue, here is the mind of the Spirit. Thus, when the Scripture sounds a warning, or gives an invitation, or propagates a truth, it is God who is warning. It is God who is giving the invite. It is God who is propagating the truth in question. Well, this doctrine is plainly stated in our text. The Apostle Paul declares in verse 25, "Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers." What is written, the quotation that the apostle gives from Isaiah, he makes it clear that the Holy Ghost is speaking by Isaiah the prophet. This is a clear case of the Holy Ghost speaking in the Scriptures to sinners. To the unbeliever, of course, and that is obvious from the particular verses that are in view. Of course, it's right and proper to say, as well as the Holy Ghost speaking in the Scripture to sinners, he also speaks in the Scripture at many, many points to believers as well. But in the context here, in this verse, it is the Holy Ghost speaking in the Scriptures to sinners. Well, first of all, then, what truths does the Holy Ghost place before sinners? What truths does the Holy Ghost place before sinners? He places before them the truth of their spiritual state. He places before them the truth of their spiritual state. We read in verses 26 and 27 what the Holy Ghost says by Isaiah, to the fathers. "Go on to this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Well, we note in these verses that the Holy Ghost, speaking by Isaiah, puts his finger upon the spiritual state of the ungodly. They are those who do not understand. They are those who do not perceive. In context here, they have heard the truth. The truth has been proclaimed to them, but there is no heart understanding. There is no heart perceiving that the truth they have heard is the truth. And the reason for that is given, for the heart of this people is waxed gross. And that's a descriptive statement describing the hardening of the heart. The heart calloused, the heart hardened. The people are not understanding, they're not perceiving, because the heart is hard. Their eyes are closed, their ears are shut, their ears are dull of hearing, their ears are closed to this. They are not converted. Verse 27 also, the word converted, and here it's very much in terms of a turning to God. They're not turning to God, they're not repenting of their sin, and they're not healed. And here, of course, it's to do with salvation. The saving of the sinner is very often pictured in terms of a healing of the sin-sick sinner. So this is very much the position of the ungodly person. This is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, laying out their spiritual state. No heart understanding. The heart hardened. Not wanting to hear the truth. Closing their eyes to the truth. No desire to turn, not saved. And this, of course, is very much a picture of someone who hears the gospel but rejects it, who hardens against it, who closes the ears to it, who is not converted, is not turned to God, and is not saved. It is a very blunt statement, a very clear statement of the spiritual state of the sinner. And this is the truth that the Holy Ghost places before sinners. He places before them the truth of their spiritual state. What will change this? Well, what will change it, of course, is the salvation of God. That which the Apostle references in verse 28, the salvation of God. That which the apostle has been preaching and explaining and testifying to in verse 23. It is that which will change this. And that is precisely the truth that the Holy Ghost places before sinners in the Scriptures. He places before them their need of the salvation of God. Adopting a new manner of life will not change the sinner's spiritual state. Taking up a religious ritual will not change this. What will change this is the salvation of God. And this is precisely the truth that the Holy Spirit places before sinners in the Scriptures. And that is obvious in verse 23. In verse 23, those that come to Paul on the appointed day, we are told when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. He, in simple terms, preaches the gospel to them. He preaches salvation to them. He explains, he testifies, he witnesses to the kingdom of God. He persuades them concerning Jesus. And how does he do it? He does it out of the law of Moses. He does it out of the prophets. He does it from the Old Testament. He does it from that which the Holy Spirit has given, which the Holy Spirit has authored. He takes those truths which the Holy Spirit places in the Scriptures before sinners, and he brings them to his audience. It is this truth, the sinner's need of salvation, that the Spirit places, before the sinner. It is this need of salvation, the need of the workings of God in salvation. It is only that which will illumine the blinded mind, which will open the heart, which will renew the will. It is only God working in salvation that will change the spiritual state. Well, we're saying then concerning the truths that the Spirit places before sinners in the Scriptures. First of all, he places before them the truth of their spiritual state. Then he places before them their need of salvation. And then I say to you, he speaks in the Scriptures to sinners of Jesus, who is mighty to accomplish this salvation. Notice the gospel proclamation in verse 23 and also in verse 31. Notice in verse 23, the gospel proclamation integral to it is this business of persuading them concerning Jesus. Notice again in verse 31, central to the gospel proclamation is preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. He is at the very heart of the gospel. This is the Old Testament teaching. The apostle preaches Jesus out of the law of Moses and out of the prophet. He preaches Christ from the Old Testament, the Scriptures as he had them in his day. And concerning Jesus, he pinpoints him as the one who is mighty to accomplish the needed salvation. And this is what the Holy Ghost is saying to sinners in the Scriptures. He is again and again placing before them the truth that this salvation which they so desperately need, this salvation is bound up with Jesus Christ. He is the Saviour. He is mighty to save. He's promised in the old. He comes in the new. He is there for all who will have him. And so, in all the Scriptures, the Holy Ghost is speaking, and he is speaking to sinners concerning their spiritual state, their need of salvation, and Jesus that is mighty to save. And thus, in our prayer time this evening, it must be, I think, a burden with us that the Holy Ghost will speak in our day. That there will, we know there is the voice of the Spirit in the Scripture, but we must pray that the Spirit will speak to individuals, that the voice of the Spirit, as it is uttered in the Scriptures, will be heard and believed of individuals. Well, having then said something about the truths that the Holy Ghost places before sinners, let me say something about how does he speak in the Scriptures to sinners? We have noted the truths that he places before, but how does he speak in the Scriptures to sinners? The Holy Ghost speaks by Esaias, the prophet, unto our fathers. How does he speak? Well, first and foremost, of course, he speaks with the authority of God, for he is God. He speaks with the authority of God, for he is God. Acts chapter 5 will suffice here, just to underline the deity of the Spirit. Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. It's the incident with Ananias and Sapphira. And all our concern here is to show you a proof of the Spirit's deity. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Notice carefully, Ananias, Peter says, Ananias lied to the Holy Ghost. He expands upon that in verse 4. He says, lies are bad enough, but you have not lied unto men, but unto God. There's no question in the mind of the apostle that the Holy Ghost is to be identified as God. That is a proof for the Holy Spirit's deity. And again, even in terms of the language here, it suggests personality. And of course, the text that we're looking at again suggests personality. Persons speak. Influences don't, but persons speak. Well, having stated that, because he is God, he speaks with the authority of God. He speaks with the authority of God. When the Scripture speaks to sinners, God is speaking with all authority. And that must always be upheld. The Scriptures are not like any other book, where a person can come to the book and have their opinion, and someone else can have a contrary opinion, and it really doesn't mean very much. But when it comes to the Word of God, it must be made clear that the person who thinks and acts contrary to the Scripture, the person who rejects Scripture, scorns Scripture, comes along and says, well, I'm not really a religious person, I have no time for Scripture, another abandons it, another repudiates it, it needs to be clear that it is God they are rejecting. It is God that they are scorning. It is God that they have no time for. It is God they are abandoning. It is God they are repudiating. For the Scriptures are given by God. The Scriptures are given by God. God is speaking with all authority in His Word. He speaks with the authority of God, for He is God. He speaks with plainness. He speaks with clarity. There is no great difficulty in understanding major salvation truths. There is no great difficulty in understanding major salvation truths. I think verse 24 here is instructive. In verse 23 it is clear, I think, that the apostle is setting before them major salvation truths. He's explaining and bearing witness to the kingdom of God. He's persuading them concerning Jesus. He unquestionably is setting before them that Jesus is the promised Messiah. He's the antitype to all the types in the law of Moses. He's the one that's promised in the prophets, and so on. He's setting that all before them. He's setting that all before them. And we are told in verse 24, some believed and some didn't believe. But we are not told that no one understood, that no one stepped forward and say, well, this theology is too deep, this truth is too high. They didn't, because in terms of the head knowledge, they knew what he was on about. They knew what he was on about. When he speaks of the promised Messiah and says, Jesus of Nazareth is the promised Messiah, every Jew in the room knew exactly what he was saying. Every Jew in the room knew exactly what he was saying. And when the sinner is told that Jesus is the one who has come to save them from their sins, the average person of average understanding will not have any real difficulty in grasping that basic salvation truth. And that must be underlined. There is no escape in trying to say, well, I just can't get the hang of it. Major salvation truths are expressed with clarity and plainness by the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures. He speaks with plainness. And then he speaks with enduring relevance. Notice the words of our text, well spake the Holy Ghost, well spake. Now, of course, he spoke truly. I think what the apostle is getting at, though, is here when he says, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers. I think he is getting at the fact how appropriate is the word that the Holy Ghost spake in former time to the fathers. How appropriate, how up to date is that word with those who are not believing in his time. In other words, what was true of their fathers, not embracing the truth with the heart, closing their eyes to it, what was true of one generation was true of them. In other words, what the Spirit had to say by Isaiah was a word of enduring relevance. It was a word of enduring relevance. And there's no question that what is stated here, there is relevance to it today. There are those that hear the gospel, and some from very early years, and they have a head knowledge of it, but they don't want it. They don't embrace it with the heart. They shut their ears and close their minds to it. The heart becomes hard to it. And what the Spirit has to say in one generation. The word that he says to sinners is of enduring relevance to all generations, because fundamentally, man does not change. External circumstances change, but fundamentally, man is unchanging. And then, of course, when the Spirit speaks, he speaks with fearful accuracy. He speaks with fearful accuracy. If someone says something and says a number of things and time passes and what they have said does not come to pass, well, then the credibility of that person is at question. But the credibility of the Spirit is not at question. What the Holy Ghost predicts comes to pass. The fact of the matter is there are many sinners who perish in a hardened state. That's not a pleasant truth, but that is a truth. There is no question there are people who perish in a hardened state, who don't want the gospel right up to their dying breath, who have their eyes closed to it, who shut their ears to it, and do not want it, and they do not turn to God, and they are not saved of their sins. When the Spirit speaks in the Scriptures to sinners, he speaks with the authority of God. He speaks plainly. He speaks with enduring relevance. And he speaks with fearful accuracy. And I think, reflecting upon this in terms of ourselves and as believers this evening, I think it brings home to us again just how central the Word of God has to be in all of ministry. In all forms of ministry, there has to be a setting forth of the Word of God. That has to be at the very centre. Well, thirdly this evening, we've noted the truths that he places before, the major truths, how he speaks. But thirdly, what is his objective by speaking in the Scriptures to sinners? What is his objective by speaking in the Scriptures to sinners? Now, the spiritual state, as it's described here, is those whose eyes and ears are closed. In other words, those who, spiritually speaking, are sleeping. Those who, spiritually speaking, need to be awakened. And I put it to you that the Holy Ghost speaks in the Scriptures to awaken them. These truths, these blunt, these harsh, these challenging truths are placed before sinners in order to awaken them. He doesn't, as it were, hold back. He doesn't sweeten the pill. He wants to jolt them awake. He wants to give them something bitter that will waken them up. It's like shocking someone into wakefulness. These truths are placed before them. He speaks in such a fashion, with such plainness and authority. He speaks in such a fashion to awaken the sinner who is, spiritually speaking, utterly asleep. Then he aims to enlighten sinners. He aims to enlighten sinners. Sinners, according to Ephesians 4:18, their understanding is darkened. The mind is in darkness. 2 Corinthians 4:4 attributes the blinding of the mind to the devil. He's described in that place as the god of this world, but it's not the Lord. In this instance, it is this fallen world's god. And the devil blinds the mind. He contributes to the darkness. And he does so by means of exerting a lying influence. That's what he did in the garden. That has always been his procedure. By means of exerting a lying influence. And as that lying influence impacts the unregenerate mind, that mind is in utter darkness. Utter darkness. Sinners whose minds are in darkness, the Spirit of God aims to enlighten. And he does so by placing before the mind truth. The lie darkens, truth enlightens. The truth of the Scriptures And only as the truth of the scriptures penetrates, only as it impacts the mind, is the darkness finally dispelled. He aims to awaken, he aims to enlighten, ultimately he aims to bring sinners to Christ. He aims to bring them to the one who is the truth. It is the word concerning Jesus. It is him ultimately that he aims to bring them to. Well, I have broken it down, the awakening, the enlightening, the bringing to Christ, but all of it really is the one thing, all of it is the salvation of God. It is the salvation of God. God speaks in the scriptures to save sinners. That's what he does. He speaks in the scriptures to save sinners. And therefore, in all of our praying, we may pray with this knowledge that God speaks in the scriptures to save sinners. We may pray for a blessing to be upon the scriptures in our area, upon the ministry of the word, particularly in various forms. We may pray with confidence that as this is God's purpose, he will be pleased to hear us and indeed speak personally to men and women, speak to them out of the scriptures, to the saving of their soul. May God do this in our day for his great name's sake. Amen.